investigating parents who speak out. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what Attorney General Merrick Garland says, defending his memo to get the FBI to investigate at the urging of school boards at a Senate hearing.
There were threats of violence and violence with respect to school officials and school staff.
And Democratic Senator Dick Durbin went on to list incidents across the country, including one in his state, Illinois.
A 30-year-old man is in charge with battery, disorderly conduct, after striking a school board member at a meeting. California, father yelling profanities at an elementary school principal. His daughter calmed him down. He later returned to confront the principal and struck a teacher in the face.
But Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says the FBI probe has a chilling effect on free speech.
Local school officials and parents may not speak up in these meetings out of fear the federal government will do something to them.
Democrats in Congress are now considering a new tax on billionaires' assets to help fund a social spending plan all Republicans oppose.
One moderate Democrat told Fox they were exasperated at progressives making impossible demands, and members are frustrated as they try to divine what's in and what's out.
Fox's Chad Burgum. There's a new attempt to try to help ease a supply chain problem that's led to increased prices and some empty store shelves. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Dave, a new policy is set to take effect on Monday at the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles that will charge ocean carrier companies an extra $100 a day for shipping containers that are left at marine terminals. It goes for containers scheduled to move by truck that sit at a marine terminal for 9 days or more, as well as for containers moving by rail if they sit there for 3 days or more. The head of the Port of Los Angeles says about 40% of the containers at its terminals are in those two categories. The two ports have had a record number of ships waiting to unload new containers, worsening the global supply chain problems. Dave?
America's listening to Fox News.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit loandepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
Sometimes the world can seem a cold place, so we gotta bring the warmth to it. Sometimes the world can seem a broken place, so we gotta strive to fix it. At the end of the day, we are empowered to create the world we want to live in. So we prepare for the worst, but we must always, always expect the best. Smith & Wesson.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's fix up your pickup truck store. Is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, yumadailynews.com. The Arizona Farm Bureau has done a feature on the flying farmers of Arizona. Learn a little bit about Yuma's farming history in this fascinating article at yumadailynews.com. A new community park is planned for the city of Yuma, and residents are invited to share their thoughts. Learn more on our website. A three-car collision on Highway 95 and Avenue C has cost an 88-year-old man his life. Read what happened. YumaDailyNews.com. San Luis is ready for spooky season. The Parks and Rec Department wants you to learn more about their Carnival Nightmare Night. More info on our website. And finally, spooky season is in full swing, and the scary and safe trick-or-treat is returning to the fairgrounds this Halloween. Starts at 4 p.m. on Sunday. Admission is $1 per person, or the Fast Pass for $5. All proceeds will be donated to the Arizona Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. If you have an idea for a local story, send us an email, newsroom@umadailynews.com. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Chatter brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And in the studio with us this morning, we have Ross Clark. As always, good morning, Ross.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Gene Dalby from the Yuma Region Bicycle Coalition. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Another beautiful day in Yuma.
It is another beautiful day in Yuma. But, Ross, I couldn't help but listen about 15 minutes ago when somebody mentioned to you that they wouldn't even loan you your bicycle. So apparently... left out.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
I
that was on
your
airplane
show.
Departure. Or
yeah,
whatever
exactly. but Gene, you know, all jokes aside, you know, bicycling in Yuma, you've long been passionate about being able to bike safely around Yuma County.
Well, I love Yuma, and there's so many beautiful. I've lived all over the world. I'm almost 80 years old now, and I've lived in Europe for a period of time, and East Coast, West Coast, RBM, and, you know, I'm finding out Yuma really is a wonderful place to live, to raise a family, to do all the things that we can do to become really good people. And so bicycling became something of interest to me when United Way gave Crossroads Mission a grant for Bike Shop. I was on the board at the time, and so we put the Bike Shop together, and we started collecting bicycles and donations and so forth and putting them together and putting them in a thrift store and putting them onto a street and what have you. And the volume of bicycles that were going out was amazing to me. And then I started looking at, wait a minute, what kind of an area are we putting all these bicycles into? And consistently when I'd ask somebody about riding bicycles in Yuma was, someone's safe. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, oh my goodness. So we have to do something about improving the safety for bicyclists. So that expanded not only from the safety aspect of it, but just the fun of it, the friendliness of it all. And so I've been at it for about 8 years now. And the predecessor John said, I moved the needle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this isn't about me, but it's more about really the benefits to the community. And everything I read, whether it's a health issue or it's a tourism issue or it's an environmental issue, bicycling has a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point, is to try to make Yuma the best and the safest place to ride so it'll become a very attractive destination for people to come from various parts of the country to ride in Yuma, you know, and to enjoy the things that we have in Yuma and to shop local in Yuma and to, with all due respect for our visitors, to bring their money, to leave their money, and then to go home. You know, as part of the traveling issues, I guess, and tourism and so forth. But we just spent a 3,200-mile trip going up to Seattle and Vashon Island and visiting friends and family. And we spent a pretty sizable chunk of money in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ride your bike?
I did bring my bike. I rode it a few times, and it was very enjoyable. And it's a wonderful way to get connected with the community. And Greg Levan over at the Greater Yuma mm-hmm. Economic Development Corporation told me that when he goes from community to community, he tries to rent a bike available there at the time. And he says he really does get connected better with the community by using a bicycle. You know, from our hotel area here in Yuma to downtown, it's not far, and mm-hmm. Rental bikes are available. And, you know, to get from place to place, it's pretty easy. It's nice to be cautious,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are The problem, I think, really now is educating our drivers that bicycles have equal rights to the road.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the problem is bicyclists that act like a bunch of idiots when they're driving bicycles. You know,
no.
And I say that with all due respect to those who do that, but they have to remember that as you move out of the flow of traffic, you become invisible.
Mm-hmm.
A driver doesn't expect to see somebody riding in the opposite direction at 5 or 6 miles an hour, you know, on the left-hand side of the road, going
mm-hmm.
against the traffic. They look for the flow of the traffic, and they look to make sure that things are available so they can move about in their automobile. So that's a problem we have with bicyclists, and I don't know what it's going to take. I'm hoping that sometime in the future we can begin to incorporate back into the school system a curriculum that really addresses bicycles. And it's not just from the riding of bicycles, but it's from the even from the economic impact or the environmental impact, you know, or the mathematical benefits. You know, you look at geometry as part of bicycle construction and framework and so forth. And then, you know, you get into the torquing of nuts and bolts and stuff like that that's important in order to be able to get the bike to be completely solid. And so many other aspects of our normal routine of education apply in the bicycle arena. So being able to have a practical application that you can apply your studies to makes the reality of the studying so much more important for the student. And yet, frequently the students say, I don't know, how am I going to use this when I finish? I don't understand how to do this or that or the other thing, whatever it is. But with bicycling, you can say, well, you know, your gear ratio is important because it will affect the amount of effort into the bicycle and the speed at which you can travel. You know, and so all the other design of bike, and there's jolly sakes, all kinds of different designs these days. And now the electric bicycles are becoming a popular item. And, you know, I'm thinking that's a whole other area. And our population's getting older. Some of them haven't been athletes during their life, so they're not in very good shape. So the electric bike plays a very nice part. And usually, we hope that by the time a person gets to the point of retirement, he's able to afford something that's a little more expensive than a normal bike. Although normal bikes can be very expensive. So, yes, bicycling is a big deal.
So Gene, you touched on a little bit about driving down the wrong side of the road on your bike. How do we teach our kids bike rules?
Well, I believe that, first of all, at home, you know, they have bicycles out today that have no pedals on them, so that you can start a youngster, as young as he's able to walk, practically, to put him on a bike and really develop his balancing skills, which is what a lot of bicycling is about. But there's no pedals to get in the way of what you do. You just kind of push yourself. And this was originally a model of very early on bicycles without pedals. They had the two wheels and the frame, steering wheel and a handle, bars and so forth, but no pedals. And so you would just kick along, you know, and ride in the seat. It was a way to do it. But now we use it for a training vehicle for the youngsters. And it's a good tool, and I think most of the bike shops here in town have those available. And it's really it's an attitude, I think, that the parents have, you know, that is bicycling an activity that's family friendly, and
mm-hmm.
I think that it is. You know, you don't have to go on a 25-mile bike ride to just be able to enjoy bikes. You can go on a 5-mile bike ride and enjoy it and bring the kids with you when either in the seat, and please, when you're having the children in the seat, have the child with a helmet as well as the parent who's riding the bike.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is important. You don't sometimes really realize how sudden an accident can happen and how
mm-hmm.
much impact there is when your head hits cement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sometimes think that it won't happen to you, that you can brace yourself somehow to avoid the fall or to avoid the complexities of an accident, but that's not true. So I think that teaching a kid how to ride a bicycle, it takes the involvement of the parent and
mm-hmm.
what have you. Then from there, I think in the fourth and fifth grade level in school, if we can have some kind of a class mechanism that would be included in the curriculum, and it's time for a break.
It is time for a break. I'm like, Gene is seeing the same signals over here. And with that, we will take our first break. You're listening to Steamer Chatter on 560 KBLU.
It's cool right now. It's comfortable later today, and the temperatures just keep getting warmer the next couple of days. 84 this afternoon. Low 60s tonight. Near 90 tomorrow.
Oh, It takes two vaccines to help protect you this season, the flu and COVID-19. And now you can get both shots at the same visit. Learn more at cdc.gov/vaccine.
Sponsored by Sanofi Pasteur.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Do you have slips, drifts, or foot and shifts? Come see my dad, Matt, at Team Ramco Transmission.
We have been a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years. We believe in honesty, professionalism, and supporting our troops. You can find us at 4701 East Gila Ridge Road, right off the interstate.
So when old dependable, not so dependable, come see my family at Team Ramco Transmission.
You can find us on Gila Ridge between Araby and 3E. So come in or give us a call, 928-344-5360.
With Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I guess I need to take a breath on there. I'm Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And in studio, we have Ross Clark, who's been a little quiet so far.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Gene Dolby with the Yuma Region Bicycle Coalition. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Gene, why is riding a bike important?
Why is bike riding important? Well, one, just from the environmental issue, you know, when you start an engine of a car that's cold and you ride it 5 miles or 10 miles or whatever, some short distance, you have a cold engine that produces a lot more emissions. And a bicycle, I mean, the distance we're talking about is relatively short. You know, the problem, I guess, is the planning of it. You know, what do I have to take with me? What am I going to do? When am I going to go to the store and get a gallon of milk? How am I going to, you know, get at home if I ride a bicycle? Well, all that stuff has to be part of the plan.
Sure.
You know, and I think that when we have a safe road system and we have, you know, even bike paths or something that we can use to get the bicycles off the road, people will ride it more. Or when the visitors that come in, I'm confident most of them either bring a bike or figure out a place that they can get one. Those that may have residents here that are left here all year round, they probably have a bike here that they just leave them. But the bicycle is important from the environmental perspective. And the other part of it is the health benefit. You know, if you can keep an active environment related without having to go and do hours of golfing or hours of gym stuff, but it's incorporated into your regular lifestyle, oh my goodness, the benefit is huge. And it's not something then that you have to necessarily plan. You're going to go to a place, whatever it is. You're going to go to lunch, I don't know, whatever. You know, ride down to the restaurant, park your bike, go in, have lunch, get back on the bike, and go back home, or go whatever the next errand is. And I think that from an important perspective, one, it would take traffic off the roads, which would be nice for a lot of us here in Yuma during the wintertime. You got a volume of traffic that's pretty hard to deal with, but we have to cope with it. And, you know, and the other, you know, from a health point perspective, if you ride to work every day, and your company supports that effort and gives you some of the benefits that you might need in terms of a shower, a locker, a change place, or whatever the technique is, then the company begins to get credit for that, and the health insurance rates go down. And that's a big plus, mm-hmm. You know, when we're looking at reducing the cost of operation for the business as well as for the employees, that's a plus. And how simple can it be just riding a bike? And not to mention the fact that when our kids go to school, if they can ride a bike to school, that physical activity improves their opportunity to learn. Their brain, their body, their blood flow, everything else is functioning and ready to go to work when they get to school because of that initial activity. And so I think that, yes, bicycling is important. You know, if we could embrace it and have a vision of what the total benefits are, I think that, let me see, I gave you one of the items there for opportunities of discussion. It's the 60 benefits or advantages of bicycling. Now, some of them are a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, the number one item is ongoing use of bicycles has virtually no carbon footprint. Can you imagine if we had a sizable portion of the population in Yuma without, we could probably reduce our, what is it, PM10 and ozone issues that we have out there with respect to these different things that we have. But when you go through all these 60 benefits, they're amazing. Some of them, like I said, one of them here, number 51, is bikes. The small profile reduces congestion. So five bikes lined up in a row versus five cars lined up in a row, there's a big difference in capacity of space
storage,
being
yeah.
consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, they were making a big deal about it at one point, I think, in Tijuana, because the wait line for crossing the border in Tijuana, there's hundreds of cars waiting to cross into the border. Inevitably, most of them are idling.
Mm-hmm.
And that volume of pollution that's going out is huge. And so I'm saying if they could make it better for people who, and San Luis is another example of that, you know, and they do have a pretty sizable parking area in San Luis, Arizona, for people who cross the border with a bicycle. And that's a forward-thinking idea, so that they can park their bike and then go to wherever they have, or ride their bike to their ultimate destination in the local area of San Luis. So there's all kinds of usable benefits and pluses, and some of it's a person's imagination, too. What can I do with bicycles? Almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything.
I mean, you made me want to bring my bike to work and take it for my lunches.
There you go.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
perfect.
Because that would be easy.
But now you drive quite a ways to get in from work because there's semi-foothills.
I do.
Yeah.
But so I probably wouldn't take my bike to work.
Leave it at work.
But I could leave it at work.
Yeah.
And you know, I actually met with, back when I was lobbying in D.C., I met with a congressman, and that's what he did. He left his bike in his office on Capitol Hill.
And this is the right time of weather now that you've been getting into. This is nice for bike riding.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But every day is a beautiful day in Yuma.
Is it safe out there?
Is it safe? Well, you know, it's safer in the summer because it's warmer. And it's safer in the summer because there's less traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what can bicyclists do to keep safe? And I know you say helmet. Right, helmet.
You know, and we're moving in the direction of not having helmet as an enforceable law. There's an issue with respect to, and I'm not sure if I can explain it correctly, but sometimes police officers will stop a person because they don't have a helmet.
On a bicycle?
Yes.
And we're talking children. Because adults are not required.
Right. It's up to 18. You know, I think 18 is the year. But in some places, they do require helmets. Well, anyway, it becomes an issue with respect to racial profiling, and the next step is I'm going to search you to see if you have a gun, or I'm going to, you know, do something else, and it gets to become a big event, and it becomes something that's really inappropriate under the circumstances of having to stop somebody with a helmet. So they're talking about not having the helmet law as a law anymore. So. The other things that are safe, the color, you know, bright neon-type colors are nice. Lights are very helpful.
I love some of the lights that are out there. And, in fact, I was following a bicycle last night, and they had a Halloween-type decoration that was flashing. And on the back, it looked like a skeleton head, and then the arms were out on the arms of the rider, and it was on the front and the back. Obviously a festive type visibility, but it was very effective and scary.
Well, what happens if I pass this guy? Yeah, right. He'll get even.
I was chasing a skeleton. They're running down the street.
We have a group here in Yuma that is very oriented towards customizing bicycles.
Yeah.
And in the design of the frame, you know, they do the welding and the cutting and all that.
They didn't know they had that.
And absolutely, it's really quite a neat organization, and it's a pretty large group of people. And they get together, I don't know what the frequency is, but on weekends, and usually in a parking lot, and there'll be maybe 50 or 60, 70 people there with bicycles. And in the evening, they have the lights on them, on the wheels and on the frames and on the handlebars, and blinking lights and solid lights and colored lights.
I'm of the opinion, Gene, that you can't have too many lights.
Not on a bicycle, you know. There's two parts to it. One is the visibility part of observing it as you look at it. The other part is illumination of the area you're riding.
Right.
You know, you need to have enough lumens in front of you that you can see.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Mine was the safety issue of being seen, but you're right on both.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I think it's the law in Arizona is having a rear reflector. That's the law.
Well, not at night, though. At night they have that.
Well, and the reflector is only good as the light that shines on it.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's reflecting. It's not illuminating. And so, you know, the idea of having a rear light with some distance of visibility. And these new ones out now that are LED lights are just amazing.
And they don't take a lot of electricity. The batteries last for long periods of time.
Right, and the only thing is the cost. You know, that some people who ride bicycles are lower income folks. My hope is that instead of passing out helmets, which we've done so much, I think everybody in the city has probably two of them. But I think we need to change our emphasis and put on lights. And I use my lights daytime and nighttime. And I have two headlights and one high-end rear light. And I used to have lights that are out on the side, too, so sometimes a person can't see the bicycle as big as it may be, but they can see the light in that.
Tell me, you know, there's some roads around here that are more safe than others. The slower the road, a 25-mile-an-hour road is safer than a 45-mile-an-hour road.
You think so?
I do. Assuming there's no shoulder.
Oh, that's a different problem.
You know, and I'm on Arizona Avenue, and Arizona Avenue doesn't have a shoulder.
Mm.
And it's 35 miles an hour posted. It's 45 miles an hour traveled. And there was a bike on there the other day that was on the sidewalk and zipped down into the road in front of me. And it's fine. I'm paying attention. And not close. It wasn't close, but I made sure to slow down.
Right.
I couldn't even pass him comfortably because there's not enough room in Arizona where I was riding.
There's not a middle lane there.
No, there's not a middle lane. It's just not a wide road.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a road I think I would pick to ride a bike. Because there's too many parallel roads that are better.
Right. Well, maybe so. But then again, you know, it's in the mind of the beholder that's doing it. So they have to go from A to B, and A to B takes Arizona.
I really don't want to be hurt.
You know, and you know, I can give you some testimony on that side of the deal. You know, I had an accident on a bike, and I came off the bike, and I broke my pelvis and two places.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, the pain level was severe, and you know, I
and dangerous.
I could have died if I had not had a helmet on. I would have died because I hit the concrete hard. And
what caused the incident? Was a driver that pulled in front of
no,
you?
No, it was a left turn and a mud puddle, and I wasn't
didn't
paying
pay attention.
Okay. It was a high pressure road bike, and came out from under me. Part of it's my own, maybe just getting old stuff. But
how long ago was it?
About a year ago.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and
I had no idea.
You know, I don't put it in the newspaper.
Yeah, I would. I would have put it on the radio had I known. So you're better off not telling me.
I have to remember that. Paul Rudd, telling the scene down. Yeah, right.
You
know, but, yeah, so, you know, injuries are no fun. And people, I tell people that refuse to wear a helmet. That's
right.
Okay, here's the deal. Get a hammer. Yeah, that's 3-pound hammer. You know, let's hold it up next to your head, drop it on your head, and see how it feels. And then compound that by the speed of a bicycle and the distance that you are from that wherever the impact is, and all of a sudden you got yourself a whole different ballgame. I mean, it's serious.
The helmets for bicycles are so light, and they're air travels through them very well.
Right.
And there's always, I mean, they are a good option at this point. Motorcycle helmets,
a little different.
Mm-hmm. But you need it because you're traveling not 20 or 17 or 15 miles an hour. You're going speed.
Well, I don't think 80 miles an hour and you hit your head on another car, it's egg. You know, it's scrambled up pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's not going to help you.
But, you know, 15 miles an hour on a bicycle hitting concrete is not fun either. So it's safety is important. And, you know, what about gloves? You know, that gloves are important in the sense that if you do come off your bike, what are you going to use as a protection?
To catch yourself? Automatic, without thinking. Your body just reacts.
Yeah, you know, and I've worn gloves almost all the time. I've been riding bicycles, and the times I've come off my bike, it's been times I'm glad I had the gloves, you know, to make a difference. You know, but
do you still ride a street bike with the thin tires?
Inside. On a platform, I don't ride it out on the street.
You know, I really fallen for the wider tire bikes, and that they're more comfortable. They really.
Now let's talk about comfort. That's another item altogether. You know, I don't know anybody in America today that goes and buys shoes that don't fit.
Well, usually you do not.
And you try them on, and you make sure that they all feel comfortable and that the right size, and da da da, all that stuff. But people, they go to different stores, they walk, they get to buy, oh, pretty color. Oh, I love the way that, oh, I think that looks so nice. They buy the bike, and it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And they don't have the comprehension or the details of being able to figure out. Your torso is a certain size.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your head has a certain size, your shirt's a certain size, your pants are a certain size.
Bike should be
all those other kind of things. So the same thing comes into play when you're working on a on a bicycle.
You need a break out of that.
Okay, well, we'll take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The COVID-19 vaccine.
And the thing I heard about the vaccine.
Sure, but do we really know about the long-term effects?
Did you read that thing on the internet?
He heard from his cousin that they don't.
Okay, you're hearing a lot of talk about the COVID-19 vaccines these days. So how do you find out if getting vaccinated is right for you? By talking to someone you already trust, your doctor or healthcare provider. They'll answer your questions so you can decide what's best for you and your family. Go to getvaccineanswers.org to find out more. That's getvaccineanswers.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want your business advertising to work for you now and in the future? Expand the universe you reach. Expanding your sphere of influence will not only bring you new customers, but also reinforce your business brand with those already part of your loyal tribe. You can do that with free over-the-air broadcast radio, which means more people every day than television, billboards, or social media. Sign up for our free business e-tips and learn how to reach more people more often with the power of this radio station at YumaAdvertising.com.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. They miss out on the things that make being a kid fun. Starlight Children's Foundation has delivered happiness to 17 million seriously ill kids and their families at more than 800 children's hospitals and healthcare facilities. Our programs entertain and inspire hospitalized kids. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
I've got muscular dystrophy. That means my muscles are weak and it can be hard to breathe.
Now is a scary time for everyone, as we are at a higher risk for respiratory infections.
In good times and bad, the Muscular Dystrophy Association helps kids live with neuromuscular disease. The pandemic places more than 200,000 adults and children with muscular dystrophy at a greater risk.
Breathing is often hard when you live with a neuromuscular disease,
but the Muscular Dystrophy Association is here to help.
MDA is what ensures they receive critical medical care at one of over 150 care centers across the U.S.
During COVID-19, kids like me are at a greater risk.
The Muscular Dystrophy Association needs your support now more than ever.
COVID-19 won't stop us. To learn how you can help, please visit helpmda.org. Thank you.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families. The brave ones leave at home. Text BRAVE to 24365 to learn how you can help first responders in your community today.
Back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And before we get back to talking about bicycling in Yuma County and biking in general, I do have a few announcements. First of all, our November Good Morning Yuma has been moved up a week so that we do not conflict with all of the events happening on Veterans Day. So the November Good Morning Yuma is going to be on November 4th. It's going to be on AWC, and the program is also going to be about Arizona Western College and all the great things they have going on there. But because it's been moved up a week, the deadline, of course, to register has also been moved up a week. So please, if you want to go to next Thursday's Good Morning Yuma, be sure you go to yumachamber.org and register by this Friday at noon. The system does automatically cut off the registrations at noon. It's not something that, like, it might be 12:01 or 12:05. It automatically shuts it down. So please be sure that you get on our website, yumachamber.org, to register for Good Morning Yuma by Friday at noon. We also have coming up on November 17th, we have our member mixer. It's going to be at DNA's Electric. They always do such a great job with our mixers, so this is one you're not going to want to miss. On November 19th, we are going to be doing a learning session, Bulletproofing Your Business. It's going to start at 8 a.m. Again, this is going to be, especially, you know, with the holiday season coming up, we want to be sure that all of our local businesses are prepared to compete with the big online retailers. We want people to shop local. And speaking of which, the Chamber is still doing its Enjoy Local campaign. LocalYuma.com is the place to go. There's a list of businesses there. There's about 90 businesses at this point, everything from retail and dining to different services. You can buy your bike, Mr. B's bicycles. You can also with nonprofits. You know, now is kind of the season where a lot of people are donating to different nonprofits or attending nonprofit functions. There's a list of nonprofits on there as well. All you need is a receipt. Literally, all you need is a receipt from any of those 90 businesses. You upload it to localyuma.com, and you can win a $100 gift card from any of the participating businesses. So if you donate, you know, $100, buy tickets like to the Kids at Hope concert coming up, all you need to do is upload your receipt for those tickets, and you could get $100 from any of the other businesses, whether it be from Dandy or Peanut Patch to Prison Hill to Yuma Landing. Any of the participating businesses, you can get a $100 gift card for that. In December, we have on December 9th, Good Morning Yuma, our mix for December 22nd. And looking forward to next year, we have our first annual event. The annual dinner is on January 28th. And I encourage everyone to ride their bike to our event. That guy, Gene, see, I'm like...
That would be wonderful, yeah. That would be an event that would be recognized probably across the state, for sure.
So, anyway, of course, we have Russ Clark in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have Gene Dalby with the Yuma Region, Bicycle Coalition. And so, you know, before the break, we were talking about comfort, and I kind of get that because my seat always feels uncomfortable. How do I make sure that our bikes
are
comfortable?
Well, you know, that's probably of all the items on a bicycle, the seat is one that's most talked about in terms of comfort. There's no question about it. The fact of the matter is there's two pelvic bones that you're really trying to get situated on the padded area of the seat. And if you do that and get the seat adjusted correctly, it's okay. It's maybe not perfect, but over time you'll get used to it, and it's just like anything else. But the problem, I guess, is some people want the really big, soft, cushion seats like a chair.
Yeah.
If you want to ride a chair, then in a chair, ride a chair, you know. But the bicycle is really a matter of the structure of the bike and your measurement. You know, a person who has a long arm reach, you know, is different than a person who has a short arm reach. But then sometimes they'll try to buy the same bicycle. Well, it's not going to work right for one of them, you know. And as a result of that, it's a matter sometimes of a seat adjustment that makes the difference of how the bike feels. A quarter of an inch and an adjustment on a bicycle can make a substantial amount of difference.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know the leg movement, you know, when you're pedaling.
Right.
If it's not right, your leg's overextended, it goes down too far or whatever.
Right.
And I see people do that, and I imagine that causes some injury.
Well, sure. I think that, you know, especially if you're new into the system of bicycling, because your muscles aren't ready for it. You know,
yeah.
Your muscles get used to doing certain things, and then when you're moving into a different environment, then you have some exposure to risk level. You know, so there are measurements that you have to have. For example, if you have your pedal horizontal, okay, and you have your ball of your foot on the pedal, your knee, you should be able to drop a string from your knee to your toe, to the end of your shoe, and that should be a straight drop.
You mean at the bottom of the pedal? And it went straight down.
Yeah, on the pedal. And one way or the other, it's a seat adjustment.
So you want that much?
You know, you want to move your seat up or back, depending on where it is, to get that line to knock vertical to the toe from the knee. The other part is, how high is the seat? You know, if you put the seat too high, you're right. You know, you're trying to stretch your leg to get to that bottom point. Or if it's too low, you're putting too much muscle effort into getting it to crank it out. And the best thing to do is go to a good quality bike shop. And the bike shops we have in Yuma are excellent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I would encourage that, you know, from the perspective of getting measured. It may cost you some money to get measured, but or you can go on the Internet and figure out how to do it and have somebody help you do it. But the best thing to do is to get the measurements, understand what they are, and then to know how to shop for a bicycle. You know, that what size frame you're going to have, so many centimeters of height. And
there's a lot of literature on that. In fact, a lot of bike sellers will say this bike is designed for somebody from 6'2".
Exactly.
You know, it's got that kind of adjustment for that size person.
Now that kind of makes it easy for the person to make a general selection.
Yes.
The whole idea is that we're going to get the guy on the bike, and he's going to enjoy riding the bike, and therefore he will continue to ride the bike.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If it's uncomfortable and it doesn't work, that's going to go in the closet and hanging up in the garage. It's going to whatever, and the bike stops being ridden. So proper measurement is important. A general fit is okay. Then you can adjust the stem of the bike.
Within that, yeah.
You know, you can adjust the seat in the bike. You can adjust the height of the seat. You know, the number of adjustments in the bike that can make it comfortable.
You know, we see these guys, I do, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, about that.
They and they are riding fast, organized. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Professionals,
yeah.
Probably, or...
They're
going to do 20, 30 miles before they go to work.
Yeah.
You know, they're out there hitting it. And they all have the very thin wheel tire.
Right.
They know what they're doing. But I would... And they're leaning over the front, you know, which some people think is uncomfortable. It's not. It's very comfortable.
No,
mm-hmm. In fact, I think those that set up straight, if you drive too far, you're going to get a pounding on that back, backbone. But they know what they're doing, and they know it. But I don't know that a beginner would pick that bike.
No, but, you know, they all started somewhere.
They all started
in that beginning mode of some kind, whether it was that they're a youngster. You know, I started riding bikes when I was about 10,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was 70 years ago. So, you know, I've ridden on and off for a lot of times, a lot of distances, and I've experienced a lot of... And I think that's the natural flow of why things happen with most anything we do. We just experience more, and we decide, no, I don't want to do that anymore, or then we say, yeah, I like to do that. I'm going to do more. I'm going to get a better bike, a bigger bike, a more important bike,
right.
A more expensive bike, and more.
Yeah,
more
you don't need a carbon fiber bike and you want to try biking for the first
time. No, I mean, that's a $3,000 bicycle or more.
I know people that have them, though, that are older than us and are avid riders. I'm talking our retirees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've had guys in my shop for the car, obviously. He lives out in the foothills. He rides in on his bike to see how his car's doing.
Yeah.
And he's got some $5,000, $6,000 bike.
Yeah.
And he's 10 years older than I thought he was.
Really. Oh, my.
I said, what are you doing on that bike? He says, oh, I've been riding since I was, you know, 20. That's been like 60 years now.
Right.
You know?
We have several people here in Yuma that have ridden across the United States.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Reinhardt. And
Ricky's done that?
He's done that. And, you know, he had one of his bucket list items, you know, he had some medical issues, but he wanted to prove that he was in good health. And so he goes, I think, from like San Diego to, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Or
he had medical issues that could have killed him. And when he got through all that, he grabbed life. I mean, he really did. Not that he wasn't before,
mm-hmm.
but it did, I think, if anything, spooled him up instead of slowed him down.
Right. You know, he rode with Marty Hogeson. They rode as a team together across the country. And then there's others that have ridden from Canada to Mexico, you know, that supported Crossroads Mission as an awareness kind of an
event. Well, after you say all that, Kim, I think you ought to ride in from the foothills.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm
like, okay, well, never mind. I guess I need to start riding my bike all the way in.
It's just how you know, right now the Parks and Recreation Department is trying to look at the skate park. And they want to look at it to try to improve it, make it a little bit more like a pump track. Which is a limited space area where you have all the turns and undulations of the mountains, the little hills and stuff like that, where you can ride up similar to a BMX track, I guess.
Okay.
So,
which we have a small BMX track in town, and it's
small,
seems
and
to
that's
be...
the proper term. It's small, and that's unfortunate because it can't be competitive because it's practicing in a small track.
Yeah.
And they need a regular size competitive track. A pump track would be great, you know. A new BMX track would be fabulous. You know, and we've got lands and spaces around that these things can work. If we can put the kind of money into the ballpark, oh, my goodness, that gets, I don't know what level of activity.
Well, the city must not like you if they're not doing it.
Well, they're I can tell you some stories about the progress we've made that would probably be amazing.
We'll have another section.
I'll say with that, we better take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit stoptextstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
United. United Toyota wants to buy your vehicle, and we'll pay you top dollar for it. We'll buy your car even if you don't buy from us. Don't wait and miss this great opportunity to sell your car for more than it's worth. Bring your car to United Toyota on Highway 86 and Eaton Road for a quick appraisal, and drive home in your new ride or with a heavier wallet. Shop the car you want, where you want, and get the price you love. United Toyota will buy your car. Come by and say hi, or shop us online at UnitedToyotaImperial.com.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve.
With Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I'm Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. As always, we have Ross Clark. Good morning, Ross. And we're talking bikes with Gene Dulby.
Good morning, Gene.
Yes. So, Gene, I'm curious, where do you ride?
Where do I ride? I open the garage door, take my bike out, go make a right turn, and make another right turn across Avenue A, make a left turn up on the sidewalk, and then make a right turn down the bike path. I'm on 40th Street, so there's a bike path that goes down from Avenue A. There's a bike path at the canal on 40th Street, and then I ride north all the way to 1st Street. Then I can go east or west from the west wetlands, over to Pacific Avenue or over to the west wetlands. And I think now that road goes to about Figueroa, where the water treatment plant is now, which brings up another subject, and that's Rails to Trails. It's a wonderful national program, and we have an abandoned rail system that goes from Gateway Park to Santa Luis. And we used to have it go, I think they ran it from the back door of the old Sioux Hall down to Gadsden. And it was kind of a tourist attraction, and they'd had some Wild West.
I remember that. In fact, I rode that train first got down in the 90s.
Yeah.
The track, I guess, got condemned, and...
I don't know what it is. Now it's a mess. I mean, it's never going to be used again, or it would take millions of dollars to restore it. So my theory is that what we do is we just, a lot of it is already paved as a bike trail. I mean, it's off the track. It's some of the track is still there, but it runs along the side of the track or whatever. And then the last stretch from Strand to Figueroa is paved roadway that BOR just finished doing. But if we can do that, we get into a lot of the different communities, such as the county is going to be involved in something like that, the Cocopah Indian Reservation is, San Luis is going to be involved in it. And it makes, my theory is that we make it a Yuma Valley Historic Trail. What we do then is then periodically we have these markers, a common design of the marker, and we talk about an event that occurred in the history of Yuma. You know, whether it's the crossing event or it's the mining event or it's the development of the Western environment. Had not Yuma been where Yuma is, California wouldn't be what it is. Crossing the river was a big deal back during those days. No bridge. So the crossing is a big event, yet we kind of bypass it. We think bridges are always there and so forth. You know, we don't even think about it anymore, but that really contributed to the growth of the Juan Bautista de Anza. Oh, my God, 1774, you know? I can get way off track, so you guys got to keep me back.
It's so good. Well, because I want to be sure we have time to discuss this, because I know you wanted to talk about it, is the Tour de Field summer thing.
Yes, indeed. That's going to be a wonderful event. We've got a bunch of people already registered. I think we're perhaps getting up to close to 100 registered, and it's going to be a great day when we're out there. But we're early in the morning on the 6th of November. I think we'll be positioning ourselves at 7. I think the first ride goes out about 9. And then it'll end somewhere around 11, 12, And the corn festival starts up in Somerton at the end of the bike ride, so it's going to be a wonderful activity for Somerton all the way around. We have four different routes, 5-mile routes, for those that are interested in just getting introduced into bicycling and family rides, or little kids want to ride something that's short. We have a 10-mile bike ride for those that are a little more aggressive. We have a 30-mile ride that would like to, you know, press their athletic ability, and a 50-mile ride that's going to be a ride that those people have got a lot of experience. The whole idea is to kind of showcase the crops in the field. Frequently we find people riding around Yuma and they say, what is that over there? Is that lettuce? No, it looks like. And then, you know, well, our reference to the produce is what we see in the grocery store. Well, there's a big deal of difference between what's in the grocery store and what's actually in the field. So we're going to put signs up on each of the field areas. No access to the field, absolutely. No bike rider will get off their bike and go into the field, period. It just is not allowed, not happened, and it's not safe.
But maybe it'll keep people from going in the fields later because they want to know what it is.
They'll be able to see the sign that says broccoli or cauliflower or whatever the other items are out there. Artichokes. I mean, artichokes are an amazing plant if you ever want those things to grow, and they grow fast. So bicycling is going to be a big deal on the 6th of November. And to register, all you got to do is go on the website at tourthefields.com. And it's going to give you all the information that you need, an opportunity to register. We do have the PhD, Plumbing and Restoration, is giving a $2 donation to everybody.
He's a big biker, too.
Yeah, he is. He's a very avid biker, you know, that... And biker sometimes gets confused with motorcyclist, so I prefer sometimes bicycle. You know, and anyway, I think that there's so much available to do in Yuma and around Yuma, and even becoming a fan of bicycling and then being able to take your bike when you travel. And like I said earlier, it's a wonderful way to get connected to a community.
Yeah.
And hi, good morning, Cheryl. I hope you have a great day today.
Oh, my goodness.
You did throw that in. You did remember
he did.
That.
Yeah, you did remember.
For me, long-term memory becomes better than the short-term memory. So if I wait for it long enough, it becomes long-term memory.
No,
okay, got it.
I'm interested in the railroad track thing again. Now, is it... If you had an off-road bike, could you do it now. There's no reason not to.
Well, probably. You could gravel bike, you know, a bigger tire bike and so forth. You could probably ride most of the way. I'm not sure just exactly how the road bed goes all the way down. It's really dissolved into the regular dirt of the field, you know. Yeah. So the problem with some of that kind of riding is that in Arizona we have the sandy areas, and they are like almost like quicksand, but it's just a big open area that's just covered with sand, and you fall into it, you know, and that's not fun. It's the front end item event, you know, usually.
Sounds like a man of experience.
Yeah, and it's happened, and I didn't like it, but, you know, and I try to avoid it. You know, I try to watch what other bike trails may have been on there before, so kind of follow that and figure if there's no mess, I'm okay. But, the trail, I think, is going to be a wonderful opportunity for an attraction that will bring, and a safety element by taking bicycles off the road, you know, to get them onto the kind of environment that would exist between.
And I think the parks that they put in with the West Wetlands, East Wetlands, they've been well used by the bike.
Absolutely.
I mean, it shows that
absolutely.
If you put them, they will come.
That's right. That's true. The parks connectivity is an important item. You know, that they're going to have a conference, I think, on the 4th of November out at the Readiness Center in Araby, discussing a park that they're going to put out in the foothills area. I'm going to go and pay attention to what they're doing, because connectivity is important from park to park.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if we can, you know, develop the need of that, and then also say, you know, it adds to the overall bicycle opportunity.
And I know the when you speak about connectivity from the foothills even into town, that's been a thing that you've worked with a lot.
Right.
And an obvious answer would be, you know, the canal banks and stuff. But there's some resistance, justifiably so, from the water users, and that, you know, there's a liability issue if they start opening it up, and that needs to be addressed.
Well, linear parks are, I can appreciate where the farmers are coming from with respect to access to their fields. I don't want anybody playing in my backyard. You know, I just don't want that to happen.
Somebody gets hurt on the property.
The liability issue is less than you might think.
Is it really?
Okay. Because it's a public, unless it's, what do they call it? It's a attractive issue of some kind. You know, there's something there where a child might want to go to that's a hazard.
Right.
That liability is pretty strong. But just riding a park in a park, I mean, you can fall off a swing in a park over there, whatever place they have, and at Gateway Park, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And who's liable? Well, the city's certainly not liable. You chose to make that activity.
Unless there was some negligence somewhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it generally has to be gross negligence, not simple negligence. So, and I'm no lawyer, so if I'm using terms that are out of place, forgive me. But,
well, I still respect you.
you know, I think that liability is not quite the deal that some people want to make it.
Right.
You know, but at any rate, yeah, the connectivity between Foothills and downtown is a big deal. We'd really like to be able to put something in. 95 is not the answer.
No.
24th could be the answer. You know, if we can get the pave from our ARB going west from there, you know, that it drops
ideally
down.
Something off the road would be the best. Like in Europe has a lot of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But we're not going to get that right away.
No, that's a while.
And getting signage and
right.
and access to some roads or some good shoulders.
That's right.
That that are usable.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then just the fundamental respect of the drivers for the bicyclists. You know, that you know, some people say they want to keep you in a small town.
Sure.
But we don't know what it is about a small town that we want to keep. And I think the issues that we're talking about are the virtues of humanity. You know,
whether it's a small town or large town doesn't matter. There's people that are going to be on the roads biking.
Right.
Just keep them safe. And that's it. And to keep them safe, it doesn't mean it's going to cost a lot. It says that some of it's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is signage. Some of it's stripes on the ground. Making people aware that bikes are sharing the road. And then, of course, just awareness talking about... you know, having the bikes on the road.
Like over on 22nd Street where the post office is, you have those two bike lanes both sides, and then you got the share roads in the middle. You know, they're not exactly in the middle, but they're on the off to the lane. They're in the lane of traffic. And what that says, supposed to say to a bicyclist, I can ride where that chevron is, and I'm okay.
Right.
That's my access to the road. And it also tells the driver, bicycles could possibly be here. You know, and that's the issue that people need to be aware of.
They're not great here with that.
No, and
we could be
better. They're, I don't know. You know, persistence is going to pay off. That's,
yes.
That's,
mm-hmm.
that's me. And, you know, being persistent and
I think you are persistent. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not giving up. I mean, it's too important.
Yeah.
While the important level may not be at the level I'd like for it to be at this point, but I think nevertheless, we've gone a long way. You know, we're going to put a hawk in on 32nd Street and the bike path. Going down the hill,
okay.
Going west, you get to that path just a little bit past Coker, and there's the bike trail. Right now there's a refuge island right there that has been banged up by a car pretty bad. I think a person has been killed there. And so the result is that they've decided that a hawk would be appropriate to put in there, which is a pedestrian-controlled stoplight.
Mm.
And at the plus, you know, will it work 100%? Again, it's a matter of driving and making...
decisions behind the wheel.
People aware.
Believe me, you don't want to hurt somebody even if you're in the car. Don't.
True.
No.
Absolutely.
Don't.
No.
And avoid
right.
that at all costs.
Right.
Be aware.
I mean, I even dodge a dog if I see him run out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
How about a cat?
Oh, well.
Well, he's just joking for you, Kevin.
Exactly.
Well, I have one of each, so I have to be...
Well, Gene, thank you so much for coming in this morning, and thank you for making us all aware. We're almost done, but you have convinced me next time you come into my office, look for my bike, because I think I'm going to have to start doing that on my lunch.
Perfect. One convert. That was good.
Perfect. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
The show on 560 KVLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.